The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Hello, and welcome to another Soccer to the Max, the weekend edition here, as unfortunately we didn't watch the Cascadia Cup game, there's a little thing called a Game of Thrones finale happening. I watched that instead, and Eric had things to do getting ready for this show.
Well, this show and our show tomorrow, which, preseason football really doesn't get epic until, well, now.
Yeah, this week has been pretty interesting for some of these games. Quite a bit to talk about. I also love someone bothering me the whole week, every single day, asking if I could be on their podcast, and then when I tell them I'm off on Sunday, they don't say anything. So I love that. But anyway, we'll run through the MLS games here. The U.S. men's national team did announce their roster for the upcoming World Cup qualifiers. One is on Friday against Costa Rica, which we will have a Friday night show at some point. These games are kind of early, so it may not be right after the games, but maybe like an hour after or something. It just depends on what's going on. And then, of course, the other game on Tuesday, the day after Labor Day, playing Honduras, that will also sort of be time pending, due to it being kind of early. 5:30 in the afternoon is when coverage starts. Jeez. I mean, I even be off work yet, and I know you're not yet. So.
Nope.
But, then things will be going quiet for at least another month on the international front. The European seasons are going to be going on international break. MLS, are they going on international break?
I don't think so.
And no, they are not. They're having games the day after U.S. Costa Rica.
So. Yes, that's I said before we came on. They've got a very light schedule, only 4 matches that Saturday.
Yeah, and then one Sunday, and then they have a midweek stuff to catch up instead. So, another one of those great midweeks there, Don.
Yeah, Don. I mean, really, Don, let's look at this. As is, you just had 7 matches on
Wednesday. It's not a midweek, I'm sorry. It's just the next Saturday. I apologize.
But even still, Don, my point stands. 7 matches on a Wednesday, then 1 on a Friday, then another 7 on a Saturday, and then a triple header Sunday. Don, we've talked about this. No.
There is NYC and Sporting on Wednesday, so we will have one game to talk about for the midweek show there, which is always nice. It's nice to have a game to kind of center things around. But anyway, let's get on with this. I guess we will talk about the other 2 games from Sunday here. The Galaxy have a penalty disallowed by video review, which doesn't really help them because the San Jose Earthquakes just basically toss them aside, win 3-0. Galaxy do go down a man at one point. But, Lord, this has got to be one of the worst LA Galaxy teams we've seen in a long time.
I think this is not only the worst Galaxy team we've ever seen, but they've even admitted they're looking forward towards next year. But in good news, I'm pretty sure Scrabble scored.
Wait, who is this? Oh, Vaco?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. We can just call him again. He made his name really easy. So we're just going to call it Vaco. But,
you know,
we...
You feel free to call him Vaco. I am giving him a proper nickname, Scrabble. Because seriously, if his last name was a word in Scrabble, you could warrant 100 points.
But, so they consider anyone's name a word?
No, technically it isn't because it's a proper noun. I'm just saying, if they could somehow enter it into Webster's Dictionary as a word, that's about a 100-point word. Maybe more if you landed on some good doubles and triples.
Well, Chris Klein's already talking about the team needed a reset. And, you know, Siggy Smith is supposed to be that, but they honestly need that offseason to kind of get things together. Zlatan did sign that one-year deal with Manchester United, but still a lot of word. And I think even from him saying that the MLS is next, but that doesn't guarantee he'll go to the Galaxy, though. He could go to LAFC, which could make things even worse for the Galaxy if, say, Zlatan comes back, plays decently enough, and stays healthy.
Bank of California Stadium is shaping up to look mighty nice. Just saying.
Yeah, have that big star to center things around, along with Carlos Vela and Bob Bradley. I mean, it's looking good there for the LAFC bunch. Toronto FC took care of Montreal. Piatti got a goal at the end, which means he's scored, I think, 5 in 7 games now. This man is, doesn't matter the age, he's a marvel to watch in MLS. It's really a treat that he's still there and been wanting to stay. He deserves whatever money that he's asking for. At this point, Sebastian Giovinco, what more can be said about this man? He takes a free kick, it goes in automatically.
Pretty much. I mean, the announcer for this match were right. You really don't want to foul Toronto anywhere within roughly 50 yards because there's a good likelihood you will pay.
Toronto was just so good in this game. They were pressuring. This may be the best Toronto team they've had.
They've won 16 games. 16. That's a franchise record. I'm just saying.
Lots of props to them for that. It's amazing the highs that some of these teams are reaching this year. And then even some of the low-ish teams have been doing really well. So, speaking of, Colorado is still one of those low teams that's doing awful. They even had a goal given to them that made it 2-1, and they somehow still lost 4-1 with 2 goals in stoppage time.
Well, keep in mind, by that point of the match, Colorado was down to 9. You're not going to win many games.
Still, I mean, they had a reason to fight. I agree. Going down to 9 is, it's difficult. Real Salt Lake got that Rocky Mountain Cup. That's all that matters, baby.
Yeah. See, Colorado, I tried hyping you up. I tried hyping up the yellow jerseys. No. They're even more tainted than they were. No.
Well, hold on. What I'm seeing here is that the game finished with both teams with 10 men.
Okay, so then the one red card, which was the straight red, that was on the Real Salt Lake player. It was a very, very tangled up penalty inside the 18. I believe that one also went to VAR.
Yeah,
I
probably
thought they gave it to the Colorado player. Instead, they gave it to the Real Salt Lake player.
Damn, Luis Silva can't stop scoring. That's at least 3 goals in the last 2.
Yeah, and I mean, this definitely takes, this win takes Real Salt Lake's mind off of some rather unfortunate news that they got caught up in with one of their players.
Yeah, that, I don't know if I really want to talk about that. It's
no, it's no.
Just, it's kind of gross.
Yeah, it no.
Not the podcast for that. And it, we also really don't know much more information. So whenever they, if they reveal anything else, I guess if it becomes a problem, it's also like a guy I'd never heard of. So, we will now because of the situation. But I mean, he wasn't somebody that was just like, oh, we're talking about all the time for Real Salt Lake, which is unfortunate because, again, when you have situations like this where Salt Lake has been doing rather decently, and that's gonna, that'll take up some headlines. But, Justin Glad had a heck of a game. Joao Plata looked good in this, and, the coach talked about Plata apparently has his head on straight now, so.
You played like it.
Good for him. And yeah, this Tim Howard was made to look bad by the end of this, which not good considering where he's about to be headed.
Yeah, and especially a couple of those were him kind of being out of position, but he still made some great saves. But a couple, look, unless you're doing the X formation, you cannot defend with three of the back. And if you do try to defend, you have to at least make sure they're back there. Two isn't going to cut it.
What about Orlando?
Two
cut it for Vancouver, thanks to an own goal.
Well, it will, an own goal and Breck Shea torturing, that was just wrong.
Breck Shea torturing his old team?
Yes.
Jason Christ calls it an unlucky situation that he just can't seem to get anything to go their way.
Unlucky, my balls, you're playing like crap.
Wow. I'm,
yes, Kyle Larin, he's back and on good form. Showing up and scoring, yes, jolly good, but what are you doing otherwise? Something ain't working.
I don't know about starting Rivas with Dwyer. That doesn't make sense.
As bad as it sounds, I could make a case for it.
Yeah, just start the two that you've been starting, which is Dwyer and Laren up top.
Yeah, but Dwyer and Laren up top ain't working.
It'll work if you actually get, service to them. That would be kind of important.
Yes, but who exactly at the top of the diamond midfield is going to be able to provide that service?
Well, Kaká's supposed to do that.
That hasn't happened.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you need to consider other options. Can Rivas not play there then?
No. We've seen
getting
what,
him in an attacking position.
Yes, but we've seen what Rivas does. Rivas likes to get greedy. That greed actually works better in an attacking position rather than at the midfield.
So how much is this on Christ, though, for not figuring this out?
And not
adjusting, saying maybe we don't need to, we can't play the diamond with what we have and playing something else.
Am I at the point to where I'm calling for his immolated head on a stick outside Orlando City Stadium? No. But if I happen to find myself in the path of maybe some sort of machete-like object in maybe a torch or a lighter of some sort, I could start to think along those ways.
Yeah, I just feel like he's so set in his system that he just tries to find ways to plug and play and go, okay, well, this combination didn't work, so let's put in a, how about you change the system around to benefit playing those two strikers that are very good together instead of trying to fit your diamond around them?
Yeah, I mean, even if you go the standard 4-4-2, I wouldn't complain at this point. It would be a lot less pressure off of the wings.
Yeah, the standard 4-4-2 may not be too bad, considering it puts the focus on those two up front.
Mm-hmm.
Then Kaká has somebody to play with there, or you can put him on the left if you want. And then Rivas will be more at home on a wing instead of sort of just being there. Yeah. You know, Jason Christ just needs to get it together, because seems very slim that Orlando goes anywhere, but
I'm calling it.
On
we're
the
done.
Outside looking in.
We're done.
Hey, you know, DC United have belief
no,
all of a sudden.
No, no.
They
no.
win at RFK Stadium. 1-0, Luciano Acosta with the winner. And, yeah.
Ben, listen to me, Ben. Why are you doing this now, Ben? Why is there a 3-match winning streak now, Ben? Why did I have to wait 2/3 of the damn season before I was able to see these results, Ben? Why do you do this to me, Ben?
Because these new players are helping. You know, Stever was really good, and Canusa and Ariola are playing their roles. I mean,
I can't win. I can't win with this. I can't win with this team. There is no winning to be had with this team. I just.
There's no winning, but they keep winning. There's 3 in a row.
Yeah, Sean.
I mean, they're winning by slim margins here, but they're winning.
Yes, but the thing is that they're starting to win now when there's no point.
It's never not any point. You need to give your team faith. Look, they're a point behind the Revolution now.
Oh, whoop-dee-doo. Like, that's saying much. Even with Kai Kamara going down in that match. Ooh.
I mean, the Revs have 2 games at hand, but there's not a guarantee that they're actually going to, you know, win them. It's not out of the realm of possibility yet. I mean, yeah, it's going to take a lot still to get to Montreal, and Montreal would have to lose all their games in hand. But, hey, they could make a run to, like, 8th.
Yeah.
And that puts them 8th. In a better spot than
8th, and then be further disappointed. I've already had
Again,
to...
is there anybody in the draft you're sitting here going, oh, my God, we got to have him?
The draft isn't even the point. I don't give a crap about the draft.
Why are you wanting them to look bad then?
Because this is exactly what they've earned and they've deserved. What's the point
what
of trying
is,
to...
They don't deserve anything. They're trying to get better by adding better players. They've improved in that aspect. I mean, it doesn't... It's MLS. You have a playoff system. It doesn't matter when you get hot. It's getting hot.
Actually, mathematically, yes, it does. Tell that to my Western Bulldogs down in Australia.
Well, we yeah, got, if you're out of it already, it's not going to matter, but...
They weren't out of it. That was the point. They just ran into two brick walls, lost their last 2 matches, where if they had a won, I would have my face painted red and blue looking towards another run at a premiership. But no! Right
hey,
when I
that
had
happens.
A little bit of hope, they curb stomp that.
That stuff happens. It does. I'm just saying. You know, it's... And for them to go and look, yeah, they're beating guys that are around them or whatever, but hey, that's all that matters at this point. You know, like, getting those wins, stacking them up. They beat Atlanta on Wednesday.
I still can't even comprehend that one.
They actually swept Atlanta this year.
You see?
And then Atlanta goes and draws to Philadelphia, which makes things even tighter down there for DC to have a shot.
Yeah, and especially the fact that Atlanta had to come from 2-0 down.
There's one thing about Philadelphia. We know they can score. That's not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's keeping the other team from scoring that is the problem.
Yeah, it is true. And with Atlanta's kind of offense, and they had some great set pieces of their own late in that match. So, really can't blame them.
What's up with Minnesota finally getting their first road win of the season against Chicago, of all teams?
And then there's another team, and that's another state. Minnesota, what did you put in your water? What are you getting from a Great Lake? Minnesota United wins on the road against Chicago. The Vikings, the Twins. What did you do? Hey, have I said something? Have I not said something? What is going on?
This is the fourth straight loss for Chicago. David Akam scored one late to make it 2-1, but they couldn't get anything to get the draw. Don Lottie scores both the goals. Ethan Finley, their new grab in a trade, got the assist there. Do you have to be worried about the Chicago coach now if Chicago keeps losing?
Somewhat. I mean, if they slip to the point to where they can't even be top three in the East, that's a problem.
Yeah, because right now Chicago's dropped all the way to fourth.
Yeah.
Way behind Toronto now. Toronto has 56 points. Chicago has 41.
Yeah, so we're talking, bye. Now you're talking, you're not even hosting a knockout match.
The Red Bulls are right there on their heels, too, at 39.
It's in very dangerous times right now out at
Toyota.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure it was Toyota.
Bridgeview. It's fine. The thing is, that gap just keeps widening. New York City with their draw against Red Bull. And this is one of the few times here where VAR, and that clear and obvious, kind of rears its ugly head.
Mm-hmm.
As to... Especially on the first one. I think the second one was a bit more on the... Well, it wasn't really clear and obvious, but the first one, Bradley Wright Phillips gets whacked in the back.
Yep.
No call, and then guess what happens? NYCFC goes on the other end and scores.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates a problem. And then the third goal, where Kleschen does get knocked down in the box, it was a penalty. Verone scores the penalty, but then, and for the most of that game, the Red Bulls had been just absolutely in NYCFC's faces.
They were really dominating from the get-go.
And then after the goal, New York City kind of evened things out a bit more, but still, once the goal had gone in, NYCFC kind of laid back and tried to avoid Red Bull's scoring on them. But it's just, that's one of those decisions that it hurts. That could have been, a win for the Red Bulls instead of a draw if your VAR's doing its job there. I think you've got to err more on the side of the, look, this may not have been clear and obvious, but he got hit. That's a penalty.
I'm hoping that they are going to kind of make this as one of those tweaks for VAR going forward, especially going into next season or other big tournaments.
Or even for the playoffs, because you might want to. Because you don't want games being decided like that.
Well, it depends on how quick that they're willing to change course. I mean, could they do and see something like this and make time for the playoffs? Absolutely. Will they? I'm not going
to
hold my breath.
Yeah, but that's all on VAR saying, okay, hey, pay attention to this ref. And then the ref goes, and if the ref still says, I'm not calling that, then fine. But, that's all it takes. It's not that big of an adjustment that they really have to make. Oop, you there?
That crew was a...
You're cutting out really bad.
No, I was just saying, maybe that particular crew that did VAR for that match isn't going to work going forward, and they need to tweak their crews.
Maybe, but it's also a rare occurrence that you have three penalties in one game, or three penalty shouts in one game like that.
True.
But, yeah, one was just very obvious. The second one, okay, I could see them not calling that. And then they had to call the third one, I think, with so many that had been going down. But just really impressive the Red Bulls have looked very recently. They had quite a few chances to score on their own without those, especially one going off the crossbar and everything else. So, for me, Chicago needs to watch out because the Red Bulls are coming. Atlanta's kind of in that seesaw mode of you never know. And if Montreal can get it together with these couple of games, they're above that line too. So, you start free-falling now, it's not a good idea because FC Dallas is going through the same thing. They fought back and they allowed Houston to tie them at 3 on Wednesday, which was awful. And then they went back to them old selves and not scoring much against Columbus, a team that obviously has defensive woes. Columbus wins again, and Dallas just keeps free-falling, and now they're under that line at 36. And here comes Real Salt Lake at 35 and could bury Dallas even deeper if they don't start getting it together.
Uh-huh. Bad times in the Big D. As if the state didn't have enough to worry about with Hurricane Harvey, or now Tropical Storm.
Well, now it is, but it was a hurricane at one point. I don't understand this. It's just they need to figure this out. They're in a really bad slump. They have not played well, and they got the Red Bulls coming up on September 2nd. So, this isn't anything great for them. I just
prepared to hold another L, Sean.
Let's hope not. Columbus, they scored 2. Ola Kamara has been fantastic. And he continues to do that here. Frickin' Jonathan Mensah scored a goal. At least he helped on the offensive side since he can't do it on the defensive side.
But nobody really could. They could, but with some of those opportunities, they just didn't.
Yeah, Columbus is unbeaten in the last 4. And again, they're rising up those charts. So watch out for Columbus here. It's just insane to me how Dallas always does this, and they do it at the wrong time, and then they question themselves why they don't get where they want to be.
Well, it's just, you have to wonder what's going on, not with the team, not with the coach, but with the overall culture. You can't blame the Heat, you can't blame the talent, you can't blame a lot of things, but it's just, you gotta wonder how this keeps happening and what you can do to stop it. I don't know, maybe bring in a sports psychologist.
All I know is now you sit seventh. Again, you could be eighth very quickly if Seattle gets another win. And then you're sitting there in eighth looking up at the rest of these teams that keep winning. Vancouver's, Houston's, Sporting KC's, Portland, Seattle's. I mean, the good thing for Dallas is they're all kind of close together. It's not a, you know, race for second like it is in the East with Toronto just beating everyone. But still, you know, you've got to be careful here. You could see yourself very easily out of the playoffs if you keep doing this.
Yeah, and if you're one of 7, 8, 9 teams fighting for 6 spots, you really don't want to be close together because the margin of error is much slimmer. You know, exactly. One win could vault you up to 4th or 5th, but one loss, you could be 8th, 9th.
Yeah, they have the Red Bulls in Atlanta the next 2 games. So they got to get it together quick or they're going to be seeing that line look the wrong way fast. So that's going to – I think we kind of went through the standings already here, but that's going to do it for Seattle remains atop the West after they drew with Portland in that Cascadia game. Sporting is sitting there at 40 points, and you got did Sporting? Sporting was off this week, huh?
No, they were playing Houston, but that match was postponed.
That was postponed because of the hurricane. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So both Houston teams had their games postponed. So yeah, if Houston or Sporting had won, imagine Houston wins, they're sitting at 41. And that's the gap's even bigger there. And then Sporting would have been first had they if they'd been able to beat Houston. So yeah, that's how things sit right now. Sporting actually has 2 games in hand. And next week will be very intriguing there for the teams that do play on September 2nd. You've got the Revs in Orlando in New England. You got Montreal in Montreal taking on Chicago. You got Dallas and Red Bull in Dallas. That's an Unimas game. And then you got the Galaxy taking on Colorado at 11 o'clock Eastern time. Jesus Christ. Thank you, Don.
Don, the Galaxy ain't that important to get an 8 o'clock Pacific kickoff, Don. Not this year.
Don. But all right, that'll do for MLS here. You know, Landon Donovan talked about how he feels like competition is good for everyone. The league is going to get better, and LAFC have done everything right in their run up to 2018. Do you agree with him?
Honestly, yes. They're like, okay, we've got everything straightened out about the arena. Nothing's really going to be problematic there. We need a good coach, Bob Bradley. You've got great experience. You know MLS as well. Done. We're getting some great international players. We've got our eye on some big names that will fit within a system that Bradley wants to run. I don't see a problem with this.
I agree, yeah. So far, I mean, you got one player, you got Bob Bradley, you made those right decisions. You've got a good ownership group. Let's see what else you bring in as far as the talent goes, and we'll go from there. And speaking of talent, the U.S. Men's National Team have named their talent of 23 players that are going to take on Costa Rica and Honduras in the qualifiers that I just talked about, September 1st, Red Bull Arena, 6:30 p.m. Eastern is the start of the coverage on ESPN, Unimas, and Univision Deportes. And then Honduras, Tuesday, September 5th, 5:30 p.m. Eastern is when the coverage starts, BN Sport and NBC Universal, if you want to watch it in Spanish, or like me, that does not have BN Sport because they were taken off PS View, so I got to watch on Universal. The U.S. men's national team has named 26 players, for the camp, only 23 of those, obviously, or 18 of those can make that final team when you start playing those games. Brad Guzan, Tim Howard, Nick Raimondo, no surprise in goal.
Guzan, ugh.
He's been fine for Atlanta.
I know he's been fine. I'm just still bitter.
And Howard, you know, he puts it on when it's U.S. men's national team. So until he has a clunker, I'm not going to complain.
No, and again, as you say, no real surprise. It's just my own personal anger.
DeMarcus Beasley, Matt Beasler, Jeff Cameron, Omar Gonzalez, remember that John Brooks is injured, Matt Hedges, Eric Lehi, Tim Ream, Jorge Villafania, and Graham Zusi.
Beasley's old. That's the only thing that I can think of. I mean, it's like, how many times are you going to go to that well before you realize it's just about dry?
He's the, if something happens to Villafania, he's there guy. That's what he's there for.
Alright, old man.
Yeah, I'd imagine that Jeff Cameron will play with either of the other guys, probably Omar Gonzalez. Then you got Villafania and Zusi in the backs. And, you know, we'll see from there. You got Kellen Acosta, Paul Arriola, Alejandro Bedoya, Michael Bradley, Fabian Johnson, Dax McCarty, Darlington Nagbe, Christian Pulisic, and Christian Roldan recalled to the team.
Roldan's a bit of a surprise.
Not really. He's been great for Seattle.
Yeah.
Since the Gold Cup.
Yeah. If you're going based upon Bruce Arena's mentality of great European base players and an MLS dominant team, these selections work. They really do.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Arriola and Johnson, and then Bradley and like Pulisic, or you play Bradley, Pulisic, and Nagbe or something.
That would be interesting.
This is going to be interesting how he does it, because he really likes Paul Arriola, and Nagbe has really come on. Would he consider sitting Fabian for Nagbe instead? I know if Rachel were here, she'd be really pissed at me even mentioning that, but, you know, it is a possibility.
I'll let you take the heat with her on that one.
Yeah, well, she mentioned it, and then Rachel gets mad.
Easily tweet at her and say, "Hey, Rachel, yeah, you may want to go back and listen to the episode. I didn't say anything. Someone else did."
Well, I'm not saying that I want it to happen. I'm saying that it's a possibility because of the way Nappy's played.
True.
And I really feel like he likes him. And I find it hard for Bruce not to play Arriola the way he likes him, too.
Yeah, again, MLS players are his preference.
And then you got the forwards, Jozy Altidore, Clint Dempsey, Jordan Morris, Bobby Wood, no surprise, but the one that is, Chris Wondolowski.
Oh, again, with MLS form, even though you have guys like Urania and Scrabble stepping up for the Quakes, Wando is still Wando.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he was a favorite with Clemson. We hadn't seen him under Arena after he took over. And it's not like he hadn't been scoring goals for San Jose before. I think it's just kind of like he already knew what he had with Wando, so he's trying out other guys.
Mm-hmm.
Agudelo really kind of hasn't done anything since Gold Cup. And everybody else is kind of, you haven't heard much from them either, so I think Wando was kind of your guy. I don't know that he plays at all, but I think we know it's Altidore and Wood up front, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. I just, like, there's no surprises here. It's not like with Gold Cup where you had a lot to talk about.
Right.
I'm kind of glad he didn't shoehorn Jussi Zardes in here.
No, because what has Zardes done?
Yeah, he's done nothing.
Exactly.
I would have been okay with not calling Matt Hedges. He still has not gone back to form for Dallas. And again, and look, I get it. With MLS, he's fine. But with national team, he's not looked good.
I mean, with most players kind of take a step up, he's one of those who just sort of, like, levels off. I don't even know if it's a plateau or if he necessarily peaked and he goes downhill, but that's really what you see. And with the motto of qualify, 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 Bruce isn't going to put up with that.
And what does that say to Dom Dwyer? You get called for Gold Cup, but then you get called, Wando gets called over you.
Wando's been better. I mean, even with, you can say, oh, it's because Dom changed clubs. Oh, it's because this and that. Sorry. Dom Dwyer even had chances in Gold Cup to stick around. While he had a lot of great moments, he kind of dropped a fair amount.
So what are you sort of expecting? You've got a tough Costa Rica team at home. I think you're at the point where you need to at least get 3 points from one of these games. You can't get 2 draws. You're going to Honduras, which is always a tough place to play against a Honduras squad that could be already eliminated by the time you play them.
I think with this, we could get 4 points. Now, if we take the lessons we learned from Gold Cup against Costa Rica, because remember, we didn't necessarily bring our A squad. We can agree on that. They pretty much did. So
no,
now
there was players missing, and I remember that in the knockout rounds, they had to basically take out all 4 of their biggest guys because of injury.
Well, yes, but even then, when they entered that competition, they did have a couple players missing, but they said themselves, we're bringing, even if not their A-. Now, they're bringing even closer to this A squad. We know, especially on our turf, we can take them. So I really think, going back over that tournament, how things unfolded, we can get 3 points from the Ticos. Now for Honduras, hopefully we can get a draw. I really think a win is a big ask because Honduras is a very wounded animal. Wounded animals will claw your face off. The next thing you know, you're laying there bleeding with one eye in your head and one eye looking around at the ground and you're feeling for it and you're wondering what just happened. This could be what Honduras does.
You know, I think we're at the point now where the U.S. should be a good enough team. We're expecting them to go to a quote-unquote tough place to play and get a win should not be something out of this realm. I feel like going to Honduras getting the 3 points is actually something that you should be expected, especially if it's on the second game, and let's say you get the 1 point against Costa Rica. You need those 3 points, and you need to play like you need them.
And I get that. I'm just tempering my expectations more for traveling to Honduras, given Honduras, than I am from Costa Rica. I mean, yes, I think it's a very strong likelihood that we get 6 points out of these 2 matches. But I'm thinking 4 is the best result going 3-1.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't think it's a given with Costa Rica as good team as they are that we get those 3 points. I feel like you just need to be careful. I mean, yes, and especially because United States beats Costa Rica. They're level on 11 points with them. And, you know, Honduras still has a shot at the Intercontinental Playoff at this point. But still, you know, I feel like, I don't know. I just feel like at this point, you should be able to go to Honduras and get those points if you need them. And you should be saying that you need them at this point because there's nothing guaranteed with Panama, even though it's in Orlando, when you get to October. And depending on where Panama is, because they could get 3 points against Trinidad and Tobago, but then they go and lose to Mexico in Azteca. And they're sitting there on 10, and they're looking to get into automatic qualification, not having to go through that playoff, you know. Mm-hmm. Now the U.S. gets Trinidad and Tobago to end things, which, again, you should think that you're winning. But, you know, it's in Trinidad, and they might want to, they might be playing for pride at that point. So,
anytime in Trinidad, not just pride. When the U.S. plays in Trinidad, TNT want to get revenge for 89. That's still on their minds.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we got to remember United States whacked Honduras 6-0 last time they played each other. So is there going to be an element of wanting to get revenge there? And the United States needs to kind of lock that down. But then Honduras's path doesn't get any easier because, yeah, they have Trinidad and Tobago, and that could be 3 points. That's also in Trinidad, so we'll see about that. But then you go into United States, and you got Costa Rica in the Central America Clasico in Costa Rica, and then you got Mexico to end things. It's at home, but it's still Mexico. So Honduras is an awful, after Trinidad, they have an awful run of games to try to get qualification. Yeah, you're going to be sitting on 8 points if you get those 3 from Trinidad. But again, like, you know, Panama is not an easy ask. Panama has to play Mexico and Azteca first, and then they have to play... they play Trinidad as well. So Panama could, let's say you get those 3 points, Panama could wind up with 10, and they're still above Honduras if Honduras gets the, loses one and wins one or something like that. So, you know, this is, and I mean, I'm not wanting to count out Trinidad at all because they have a pretty damn good team. And against the Central American teams, they have a tendency sometimes to play above, you know, especially against Panama. They beat them. They haven't been able to beat anybody else, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, it's with this last half of this schedule, it's extremely close. You're looking at a lot of really tough calls.
And do you have any concerns with Mexico? Obviously, Osorio misses that game against Panama. Then he's back for the Costa Rica game. And then they have Trinidad and Honduras to close things out. I'm not saying that they don't go ahead and get enough to just keep winning the Hex, but are you worried anything about any kind of distraction or anything with all that stuff going on with Osorio meeting with the Mexican clubs and everything else?
Personally, no, because you've already had distraction via perception of everything going on with this qualification, and not even just with the qualification. Go back to the Confed Cup. There was a lot of pressure. There were some expectations there, and to an extent, they managed. I think at this point, the worst case scenario to where anybody in Mexico would panic is for El Tri to crater. And I don't think they're in a position to crater.
I think also the U.S. was given the early games so that people could also watch Mexico after.
So I guess you would be switching from what, Bud Light to Corona? You still get drunk either way.
Yes, if you look at it that way, yeah, sure. some interesting fixtures that could leave us with an understanding of how much closer we are to automatic qualification for a lot of these teams. If the U.S. can get all 6 points, they will have 14 and pretty much guarantee themselves a spot, especially because they will have beaten Costa Rica and Honduras, kind of really putting a damper in their spots. Now, you know, if Panama can get an upset or anything like that, you never know. Again, this game against Panama is interesting. It's at the Azteca, but it's that last game without Osorio. How much is that going to matter?
I mean, if Mexico and Panama draw in that match, I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't see Panama really winning.
That's a huge point gain for Panama, though, if they're able to get that. Because then again, they're going against Trinidad, mm-hmm. and if they can get that revenge game at home against Trinidad and win, you get 4 points, you're looking at 11 sitting there right there in the mix if you're Panama. So, again, this is why I keep saying it is absolutely vital for the United States to get as many points as you possibly can, considering who you're playing in Costa Rica, who is right there ahead of you. You need those points. Panama's right there behind you. And you can't let Honduras make this an even closer battle than it is.
Nope.
But we'll have to find out on Friday.
Yeah.
All six teams play on Friday, and all six teams play on that Tuesday. So it'll be the United States and Honduras first at the – or not Honduras, sorry. The United States and Costa Rica first at that – it looks like it's a 7 o'clock kickoff Eastern. And mm-hmm. then Trinidad and Honduras in Trinidad at 8 o'clock. And then it'll be Mexico and Panama at 8:30 at the Azteca. So, and then on Tuesday, it's that 5:30 kick, 3:30 for Honduras at the Estadio Olimpico in San Pedro Sula on Tuesday, there first. Then it'll be an 8 o'clock kick for Mexico, Costa Rica in Costa Rica, San Jose, and then in Panama City. At 9, it'll be Panama against Trinidad. So that's what's up for the next round of qualifiers for CONCACAF.
And then after this next round, October's it.
Yeah, after October, October 6th and October 10th, and that's it. You'll be having the draw, I think, 1st of December for the World Cup, and everybody will know where they're at. Going into the new year.
So you'll have about 6 months to stock up on your best vodka. Keep that in mind, folks.
All right, let's. Unfortunately, we don't have Rachel here with us. She's on a big girl duty working. So we will have to just kind of run through the NWSL stuff here. Sam Kerr ties a single-season goal-scoring record for NWSL with now 16 goals as she helps the Sky Blue beat the Boston Breakers and kind of keep pace there in the middle of the pack in NWSL. They now sit fifth with 29 points thanks to that win Kristen Press with a late one for the Red Stars keeps them in third place, beating the Spirit 2-1. 32 points there for Chicago. The Spirit are still last, tied with Boston on 16 points. Alex Morgan scores the game winner for the Orlando Pride in the 87th minute, beating Kansas City. Now Orlando sit with 32, tied with Chicago in fourth, while Kansas City sits towards the bottom in seventh, tied with Houston on 23. Mm-hmm. Houston had their game with the North Carolina Courage, who the Courage are still leading all of NWSO on 39 points because of the Hurricane Harvey situation, which I think they could clinch a playoff spot if they win again their next game. And you also have Portland beating Seattle 2-1 to remain second with 37 points. And Seattle's there in sixth with 27.
And I will say to the Pride, they're really starting to hit their stride, with especially in a match with a lot of extra intrigue with the whole Sidney LaRue situation. I was able to catch a good portion of the first half, and Orlando's looking dangerous in the stretch run of the NWSL season.
They certainly are, and a good thing for Boston as well. Roosevelt upgraded to questionable, and she probably could play in the next week.
Tremendous boost for them to get out of the cellar.
Yeah, it would be a terrific boost for them. Now, Washington will play the North Carolina Courage in a couple of days on Wednesday, and then they'll resume their weekend schedule after that with games on Saturday and Sunday. The lifetime game this week is Portland and Washington, by the way.
Ooh.
So, all right. Until, I think that's going to do it for us. Just getting ready for these men's national team games. Like I said, we do have an NWSL game on Wednesday to talk about. There are no MLS games until after U.S. Costa Rica, so we won't have a game on Wednesday to talk about. We'll figure out something. If not, we'll kind of try to just do a deep preview, talk about who Costa Rica and Honduras called up, and go in that direction. Might be a more international look at things. Maybe look more international. Maybe what's going on in Europe and CONMEBOL as well, as of course everybody's playing on this international break. So, all right, until we hit you on the Wednesday show, if you liked what you heard here, hit that subscribe button. You can listen to us, I forgot to mention, on Last Word Radio through Blog Talk Radio. They have not put their stuff on iTunes and whatever yet, so right now, you'll just have to go on the Blog Talk website to listen to us there. If not, you can always listen to us where you're familiar and you know where we are. WTM Network, subscribe to that whole thing to get all the stuff we do, including another football show that will be coming at you on Monday night where we talk about all the preseason Week 3 games. Some of them are really fun to watch. Of course, Dress Rehearsal Week, considering that Week 4 will be that week where teams are just trying to figure out who's going to be on the team on that Final 53, where every team plays on Thursday, August 31st. We'll go through that whole Week 3 schedule, have a few more things. Bontez Perfect looks like he's going to be in trouble again, and a few other things to discuss on that. Of course, the wrestling show, our normal schedule is still going on strong there. There's a new video games podcast you can check out as well, Point of Viewer with Eric, and everything else. And, of course, just subscribe Soccer to the Max. That always gives you everything we do. Just anytime we do a show, it's there for you, like this one will be, and you just listen whenever you feel like. And make sure you check out W7Net.com, not only for Soccer to the Max, but all the other stuff that we do, video game reviews and the like. Should be a Madden review, if not tomorrow. Certainly tomorrow at some point. And until we see you again on Wednesday night, we'll see you later, everybody.
Peace.
Later.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.